What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Gridiron Podcast. It's episode 13. I'm Nick.
And I'm Michael.
And this week, I guess the NFL decided to be drunk again, kind of like week two when we talked about that. And we're going to be discussing it. All right, so the first topic that we're going to talk about is the Ravens versus the Bengals. Now, this game, I mean, Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase putting up big numbers for a loss.
Yeah. I mean, this was an absolute thriller of a game. I mean, Joe Burrow had 430 yards, was it? Correct me if I'm wrong. 428 or something like that. Ja'Marr Chase had a great game of 260 yards with three touchdowns. Just an absolute banger of a game. Now, obviously, this game came down to the absolute wire of Cincinnati deciding to go for two at the end, ultimately not getting it, which honestly, I was kind of confused with that decision just because of Cincinnati's record currently and where that kind of puts them in the playoff race, as they are now 4-6. And looking at, I mean, who knows what happens if they go to overtime. But I want to ask you, Nick, like, do you think that that decision, obviously not getting the 2-point conversion, is going to hurt them in the future?
I wouldn't, because I'm looking at their schedule coming up and it's like they verse some decent teams, but then they verse some pretty awful teams. Like they have the Chargers coming up, the Steelers, Cowboys, Titans, Browns, Broncos, and Steelers again. I see at least maybe 2 to 3 losses within that time frame. The rest being wins. So I don't think that this puts them in a terrible position. And for it to be a 1-point game, I don't see it being too much of a big deal. Obviously, in the moment, you're thinking, okay, let's go for the win. Obviously, it didn't pan out in your favor, but I don't see this hurting them, especially because of how Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow played that game. I don't think they're going to have the same stats every week as they did this week.
Yeah.
But I'm seeing an upward trend from where we were at the beginning of the season. And for the Bengals, that's huge just to be improving every week.
Yeah, absolutely. And another question I had going into this game was, what kind of Lamar Jackson are we going to see in like the Ravens offense? Are we going to see a Ravens offense who struggles, or are we going to see a Ravens offense who is putting up points? And obviously Lamar Jackson played well. They're putting up points. They put up 35. I mean, another receiver who I haven't really heard of, you know, I don't know if his first name was Tyson or Tylen or something like that.
But Tylen Wallace. Yep.
Yeah. Wallace. Yeah. Another dude I haven't heard of, you know, absolutely crushing this Bengals secondary. But, you know, Deontay Johnson didn't really get that much action this game. And that was kind of interesting for me. I don't know what your thoughts are about that.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of touched on it last episode when we were talking about the trade deadline of this trade, how Deontay Johnson really didn't put up numbers for the Panthers. So we really didn't see him putting up numbers for a Ravens offense. And I kind of think we saw that this week. Obviously he did not put up the numbers. I mean, speaking of like Tylen Wallace, 3 receptions for 115 yards and 1 touchdown. Like that is an insane stat line. I think that Johnson will start to kind of ease into the offense. I think with him coming in on kind of a short week, I would say, to get used to the way that the Ravens offense kind of operates, it's going to take a little bit of time for him to actually get acclimated into that offense. But I don't see him putting up huge numbers this season really at all for the Ravens.
Yeah. So you talked about, you know, Deontay Johnson, the Panthers, as I'm going to move on to the next game because there's so many games to go through this week and so many talking points we have. We got the Giants and Panthers in Germany, I believe it was. Even though this game, yeah, went to overtime and the Panthers snagged it, you know, even though there's not much to take away from it, but the 2 points I kind of got from it was, I've heard rumors now too, by the way, today, that Daniel Jones is very unlikely to snap another football for the Giants. I don't know if that's true or not, but after this loss, I think the Giants should just tank and just draft a quarterback. I don't know what your thoughts are about that.
Yeah, I saw rumors all over Twitter. I've been seeing them. I mean, it's tough because you have a quarterback that you're paying this much money to,
right,
who in his entire career has only thrown 2 touchdowns at your home stadium. So I think, and there was this video of like the Giants general manager's son saying, hey, draft Jaden Daniels, trade up to get Jaden Daniels or JJ McCarthy, or heck, pick Malik Nabers, right? They ended up picking Malik Nabers, which, in my opinion, this before, if Malik Nabers was on any other team, I think he'd be in the discussion of rookie of the year.
Yeah, no, I fully agree.
I think this really should tank this the rest of the season. I mean, just looking at their record, for example, they are currently 2-8. Any coming back from this, and their schedule is not going to get any easier.
Yeah. Like
looking at their schedule coming up, you have you still have division games. I mean, you have the Bucks, Cowboys, Saints, Ravens, Falcons, Colts, and Eagles coming up. And in my opinion, you really could lose all of these games, minus probably the Cowboys because of how awful they are. So,
yeah. And on the flip side, you know, I just want to take away from the Panthers. This was a good win for them. However, benching Bryce Young was a good decision. It looks like he's kind of come out in a different form, even though he's been turning over the ball still quite a bit. But nonetheless, though, his completion percentage is up and his QB rating's up from when he previously was starter. So I kind of wonder if like internally there was something there that boosted his confidence, or if he's just playing loose now, or just something else is going on in the Panthers organization to where Bryce Young now feels comfortable. I was just wondering, Nick, like, do you think benching Bryce Young did something to him?
Yeah, I think it really comes down him feeling comfortable in an offense. And I think benching him and then now having him kind of ease back into the offense is huge because he was like making sure that he was getting used to what was actually needed from him as a quarterback, and now winning 2 straight. I want to say they're on a 2-game winning streak. I think it's big for them. Especially because we've been talking all year about them being potentially the worst team in the league. And they just beat the now worst team in the league in overtime, which,
yeah,
that game really shouldn't have gone into overtime. And to see the first play of the game in overtime being a fumble by the Giants, it's like, okay, yeah, this makes sense.
The story of the Giants, yeah. 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 Speaking of, you know, conversations of the worst teams in the league, the next game I want to talk about here is one of my favorites of this past weekend. I mean, you can agree with me here, is the Patriots versus the Bears, as the Bears lose 19-3 at home. There's so much to talk about here, Nick. I'll let you start off with something.
Yeah. All right. So we got the news earlier that they fired Shane Waldron, which we saw coming, right? We saw this coming. And looking at how the Bears have really performed over this past like two, three game stretch, it's insane to think about how bad they've been, because they lost the previous week 29-9, and then to lose 19-3. They've only scored 12 points in the past two games.
Yeah. And I think there was also another stat too, that it was like the Bears haven't scored on their opening drive in like nine straight games or something, or was it 23 drives? It was like their first 23 drives.
It was 23 drives. It was the last 23 drives they have not scored a touchdown.
Yeah, and there was something else about nine games. I don't remember. There's so much negativity.
What's crazy is now a meme is coming out because of what Caleb Williams texted the punter after he got drafted, saying, "You're not going to have to punt anymore." And what happens? Punt, 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 field goal, punt, punt.
Yeah.
It's like,
no, it's incredible.
We've talked about this for multiple weeks now. We were saying, okay, the NFC North is looking scary, right? At the beginning of the year. And now these teams are starting to come down to earth, right? We'll talk about another team that we believe is coming down to earth. And then you have the two teams that really should be leading the division. I think the Packers should be over the Vikings, really, in my opinion. I think they're a better team. And then the Lions. We'll talk about the Lions game here in a moment too. But I think we talked about potential Matt Eberflus getting fired. And based on the press report that I read earlier today, it seems like they're keeping Matt Eberflus, which I'm like, okay, at this point, tank the rest of your 10 seasons that you have with him. Just don't even worry about winning anymore. Don't bring winning football to Chicago.
Yeah, no, this is an absolute dumpster fire. Because obviously this week you have the Green Bay Packers coming into Chicago, Soldier Field. And if they get mollywopped again, I mean, you're going to have the chance of fire Eberflus. And Eberflus has had numerous people under his staff being fired and or, you know, resigning. But ultimately it's under his coaching that he's brought in, you know, so many coaches that they're just getting fired. And it's like, when are they going to say, okay, Flus, you're a problem. You need to go. But the other problem, too, is Caleb Williams has now been under there's been too many coaches in Chicago. It's like a head coach swap. I believe it was Justin Fields with Matt Nagy, and you had someone prior to that. And then, obviously, Eberflus. But if you switch again for Caleb Williams, it's going to be like a whole new system, a whole new, you know, relationship. It's just a disaster. And, obviously, you're looking forward here at the Bears schedule. You have Green Bay, the Vikings, Lions, Niners, Vikings again, Lions again, Seahawks, and Packers again. Those are all losable games. I mean, they could lose out.
And even going back to like the Jay Cutler days of like switching head coaches. So it's really getting to a point where the front office needs to sit down and be like, okay, who is a good option for a head coach that we can potentially win games and make it to the playoffs for not just one season, but for multiple seasons going forward? Because right now they're the laughingstock of the NFC North, not the NFC, because that still goes to the Panthers or the Saints, but the Saints won this week and the Panthers won this week. Really kind of going towards the Cowboys now, but I mean, you look at, like, in terms of NFC in general, right? A couple of weeks ago, we were saying, okay, all four teams in the NFC North can make it to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right? The way that it was breaking down, you had the division leading at that time, the Lions, and then you had the three of the wild card spots being Green Bay, Minnesota, and Chicago. And now it's like Chicago is on a losing streak of three, four games now. They're under 500, which is the first time all season that a NFC North team has been under 500. And it's getting ridiculous. And now it poses the question, do you think that they're going to have Eberflus for the rest of the season and then potentially look for a new head coach next season? Or do we see them getting rid of him now when they still have a chance to at least make a push for the playoffs? Or do we see them tanking the rest of the next two, three seasons that they have him under contract?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting question because I think today Waldron and Eberflus should have been gone, but obviously they kept Eberflus. But I think that if Green Bay comes in and they just mollywop Chicago, and I think if, you know, Chicago loses every game but one of the remaining schedule, I think you're looking at Eberflus being gone at the end of the season, as he should be. I mean, his record, there's nothing good about it. There's nothing good about it. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you say that they're undefeated at home, but obviously you just lost now to the Patriots. I mean, what do you have to say? What does Eberflus's track record have to back up? It's not good. The guy is just not a winner. He might be a defensive mind somewhere else, but he's definitely not a head coach. So I think he will be gone by the end of the season, if not in a couple weeks here. So his time's coming to Chicago.
Yeah, I think it really comes down to the division games. Like, we've seen teams fire head coaches, fire offensive coordinators after these division losses. And going into the Green Bay game coming up, I think it could be a possibility where Green Bay just goes in, handles business, puts belt to ass on the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
And we see Eberflus gone.
Yeah.
I think that could be a possibility where he's gone after this week if Green Bay goes in and takes care of business in Chicago.
Yeah. So, I mean, another game that I want to talk about here that was – it's pretty important for these NFC teams is the 49ers and Buccaneers, as this one was crazy in my books. I mean, I'll start off with obviously Jake Moody. The guy had a really bad off day. As the Niners could have put this one away a lot sooner, but he missed so many field goals, but ultimately hits the game winner, which is all that matters, I guess. But what do you think about the Buccaneers going forward? Do you think that, you know, they have a chance at their season reviving in any way? Cause they did lose a couple of tough close games here to the Chiefs and 49ers now. But do you see their season being revived in any way?
I think so. Because you got to think about this, right? 49ers and Chiefs, at least the Chiefs have been one of the best teams in the NFL this year, right? 49ers just got CMC back. They're on the up. You're losing close games without Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. So I think it's – I'm not saying by any means that their season is over. Right. There's no possibility of me even saying that remotely because they've lost these close games without their star players. Yeah. So I think if you start getting like these people that normally won't like play that often, right? Like rotational guys and everything like that. I think if you can get this team on the same page under Baker Mayfield, I think their season can be revived.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think it was good to see the 49ers first-round draft pick, Ricky Pearsall, have a good game. I think we were all expecting him to eventually play after his wound and kind of like, you know, be able to show what he can do. And he did this game. I mean, he had a nice game. I think it was like 70 yards. On 8 receptions and a touchdown. He played a very nice game. Another thing I want to add to the Buccaneers is when is this defense going to step up? Because it's just brutal to see this defense or this team battle and then have the 49ers and Chiefs just stomp down your field and ultimately win the game. I mean, time and time again, you have to be able to, you know, get a big stop or a turnover, something. And the Buccaneers secondary hasn't done that. And obviously the losses of Carlton Davis and other players have really been hurting. And I think, do you think, Nick, that this Buccaneers defense, do you think the Bucs should have added anybody by the at the deadline?
Yes. I think I even had a conversation, like, not recording wise, where I said the Bucs defense really should have made a trade. Because I say their season can be revived, right? But they need their defense to step up, like you said. They can't win these games if they don't have a defense stepping up, right?
Yeah.
We'll get into another game where a defense stepped up and carried an offense to a win, right? We'll get to that game later today in this episode. But in my opinion, it starts with the front seven, right? The front seven needs to start getting to the quarterback to be able to limit those big yard plays, right? They need to clog the gaps, which they really aren't right now, which can be something that is like, what can the defensive coordinator kind of put together to make sure that happens? But I say it every week, it's the players that have to execute those plays. And the front seven really hasn't, and then it's been burning their corners and safeties because the front seven can't get to where they need to be, or even trying to get to where they need to be.
Yeah. And speaking of a front line, I want to go into this next game with pure disappointment. I was super excited to see the Broncos beating the Chiefs. I thought they had it in the bag. I told my roommate with two seconds left. I was like, the Broncos are going to win this game. Behold, did I know the Chiefs blocked the field goal. I don't know what to say. I mean, I'm so disappointed in the Broncos. You had one job and you couldn't do it. What were your takeaways from this game, Nick?
Yeah, I think it was about halftime where me and you were texting, and I was like, did you see that the Broncos are winning right now? Yeah. And you're like, let's see if they can hold it up. And I was like, hopefully, right? Because with my favorite team being in the conversation for the best team in the NFL. Yeah, so with the Lions being in the conversation for the best team in the NFL, me personally, I wanted to see the Kansas City Chiefs lose, right? Because I was like, they would have a similar record pending what was going to happen in the Houston game with the Lions. And the Broncos, like you said, they had one job. And I was talking to one of my coworkers, and he was like, I played soccer. Even if that kick got over, it wasn't going in, because of how much of a line drive of a kick that he kicked. It wasn't a huge block that was made. It was a really low kick. He basically line drived it instead of getting it up and far. Right. So they should have won the game in the third quarter. Right. It shouldn't have come down to a last second field goal. It shouldn't have come down to potential, I think it was 35-yard field goal. I think it was.
Yeah. I think if you hold the Chiefs to 16 points, you should win the game. I mean, Mahomes didn't play well at all. Well, I mean, he did have 260 yards, but he was 28 of 42. The Broncos absolutely crushed the run game. They stopped the run game for the Chiefs, holding Kareem Hunt to 3.5 on 14 attempts. I'm so astonished by this. And, you know, as you said, the Chiefs aren't impressing me at 9-0. Yeah, they've won some close games here and there, but I'm not solidified on them being the best team in the league, even though they are by standings the best team in the league. I'm not feeling that.
Yeah. Hopefully next week, I think they have Buffalo. Hopefully Buffalo comes in, and I'm rooting for you, Josh Allen. This is one of the only times I root for you. But yeah, I mean, like you said, they are not impressing me at 9-0. And the fact that Patrick Mahomes is number two in the MVP race is absurd, in my opinion.
Yeah, no way.
There's other players that deserve to be higher than he is, because he has not impressed me really at all this season. I mean, he had a couple good games, right? But against the Broncos in a close game, he was average at best, yeah. I would say.
Yeah. I just want to say really quick before we move on that for some reason, it's always the Broncos that play the Chiefs close in these divisional games these recent years, which is so odd. But
the Raiders have too, but I mean.
Yeah, that's true. They did beat them. But going on to the next game that I think is more efficient, the opposite of what this game was, we got the Steelers and the Commanders, an absolute banger. I watched this one since the Packers were on a bye week, and this game was just full of entertainment. I mean, I was fully thrilled. I mean, didn't care who won this game, but, you know, it was just a banger of a game. I think Russell Wilson played really well. George Pickens had a great touchdown grab. It was just an absolute, like, just banger of a game, dude. I mean.
Yeah. My brother and I were looking to watch a game, right? Because we were waiting until 8:20 for the Lions to play. And we were like, okay, there's 1 o'clock games that we can watch. What game are we going to watch? And I was scrolling. I was like, huh, Steelers and Commanders. Click. Yeah. I was like, this is going to be an absolutely insane game. And there was no disappointments. Obviously, yeah. In terms of NFC playoff race, I'm glad the Steelers pulled it off. But I would have liked to see Washington win that game, because Jaden Daniels has just been on a run these past couple of games. And this game, it was like someone put bricks on the wide receiver's hands. I mean, like, Brown was dropping passes left and right. I wouldn't say worse, but it was almost similar to the Green Bay Packers dropping 7 passes to the Lions. And that was in the rain.
You know, so the craziest thing about this game that I was like, why did the Steelers do this? They did that fake punt and the receiver dropped the ball. I couldn't believe that it worked, but I couldn't believe that he dropped it. Obviously, Washington goes down, scores a touchdown, and next, you know, it's tied up at 7. You know, at first I was like, what is Mike Tomlin doing? But it was crazy that it worked. But yeah, this game was great. I mean, the only thing I have to take away really is that Washington secondary, as I know we've been harping on this, Marshawn Lattimore wasn't available to play due to a hamstring, I think. But when he comes back, I think this defense will be stronger in the secondary, which I'm looking forward to. You know, I think Washington's a fun football team to watch now. Terry McLaurin's still a beast. I mean, that guy with how many QBs he's had is just balling. I mean, he's so underrated in my opinion. And yeah, I mean, I think Washington's just a fun football team to watch now. They really flipped this organization around.
Yeah, I can agree. I'd say probably 2-3 years ago, I'd see Steelers and Commanders and I'd scroll and I'd be like, oh, this is another good game. I mean, Buffalo versus Colts. I'd like to see Buffalo play. Yeah. So even like a couple years ago, comparing like Washington now and Washington back then, 2-3 years ago, I would have just scrolled right past their game. I would have been like,
yeah,
I mean, Steelers versus Commanders, Steelers are going to take this, even though, I mean, they had Mason Rudolph, they had Pickett. And I was like, now it's like you see Washington playing, you're like, this is going to be a good game, right? This is going to be a fun, entertaining game. Like, even when I was looking at the Bears-Commanders game that happened a couple weeks ago, I was like, okay, Bears, decent football team right now. Now, a couple weeks later, we're like, they're horrible. But Washington this year has been probably one of my favorite teams to watch, minus the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, and just one more thing I want to add is, like, this to me was like a battle of like who's more legit, because we've seen Commander schedule, it's not been the greatest, but, you know, they're the toughest rather. And the Steelers schedule also hasn't been the toughest, but both teams have picked up some good wins here and there. So it was like, who's more legit? And even though Steelers won by 1 point, I still give credit to both teams. I think it was just a great game overall. Can't be mad about it if you're Washington. But going on to the next game, I think, you know, someone who can be mad is Vikings fans. Might I start with, what the hell is Sam Darnold doing?
Yeah, I mean, it's to a point where I'm like, we were talking about at the beginning of the year when the Vikings were undefeated, what game is going to get them back down to earth? And I think both of us said the Lions. And what has happened since then? Vikings lost. And then they've had close games where Sam Darnold has not looked like the Sam Darnold in the first five games.
Yep, absolutely.
So I think, yes, they are second in the NFC North because of the tiebreaker that they have with the Packers. But I would say they are coming back down to earth. I think Sam Darnold is – he's not a bad quarterback by any means, right? But I think we're starting to see the Sam Darnold that we saw 2 years ago, 3 years ago. We're starting to see that Sam Darnold where he's throwing multiple picks a game. And it's crazy to think that they won this game.
Yeah, I mean, that's more on the Jaguars' end, if anything. I mean, obviously Trevor Lawrence was out of this game, so Mac Jones was starting. But Mac Jones had an opportunity to go down the field at the end of the game, and he throws a pick. I mean, do I expect Mac Jones to be, you know, driving down the field to win? No, but not in that fashion. I mean, at least, I mean, 7 points. I don't know. I kind of expected Mac Jones to do better, especially holding the Vikings to 12 points. I mean, I kind of thought they were going to win this game. But yeah, it was just another crappy win for the Vikings that, you know, makes it look good in the standings. But when you look at their schedule, it's like they had a close game here, they had a close game there. And it's like, eventually they're going to fall flat. And I'm just waiting for that to kind of happen.
Yeah. To be fair, before this game, I forgot Mac Jones was even in the league anymore. It's like, like you said, you have an opportunity to drive down the field to win the game, and you throw a game-sealing pick in one of the weirdest score lines in a game that I've seen. I mean, in the first half, what, it was 9-3 or something like that?
Yeah, something like that, 7-6. It was,
It was like, what are the Jaguars going to do now that we've mentioned their offense has been mediocre, their defense has been awful. Now they don't have Trevor Lawrence, and potential he will miss this upcoming week against Detroit. What are the Jaguars going to do to potentially revitalize their season, or do we see them tanking like we expect from the Giants?
I mean, I don't think they're going to tank necessarily in the sense of draft QB, but I think they're going to try and draft a position player. They need one. They're going to get rid of their head coach, who's been under pressure for some time now. And, you know, maybe we'll see what happens with the receivers too, if they, you know, get traded, or what happens with their contracts. But I definitely see the Jaguars drafting a position player. Don't know what, because they need so many. Definitely the defense. I mean, they've been drafting defensive players for quite some time now. Obviously, last year drafting Brian Thomas. But yeah, I mean, going back to the Vikings, though, looking at their schedule, I mean, they got a tough schedule coming up. I mean, granted, they play the Titans this week, but the Bears, Cardinals, Falcons, Bears again, Seahawks, Packers, and Lions. I mean, that's a pretty tough schedule if you were to ask me. I mean, a couple games in there, you're like, yeah, they should win those. But for the most part, you don't know. I think those are tough games.
Yeah, and I think it's very difficult to kind of predict this team going forward, because we've seen them have some of these dominating wins, and then we've seen them having really close wins, really close losses. So it's really hard to predict where this team is going to go forward in this season. Do I think they're still playoff contention? Yeah. Maybe sneak in the wild card. But do I see them winning the NFC North? No.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I mean, going into the next game, you know, talking about winning a division, is the Arizona Cardinals. This is a team that low-key I've been watching for like the last couple of weeks, just because they are the hottest team right now, I think, in the NFL. I mean, for the past couple of weeks, they dominated the Bears. They dominated the Jets. I mean, they're 6-4, which is way above their or like what they were supposed to be, in my opinion. And they're first place right now in the West. I mean, it's kind of interesting, because when you look at like the, you know, playoff picture, I think you get three teams from the NFC North, as you said, two teams from the East, the Eagles and Commanders. And then I think there's just one team from the West division who comes out. So this is putting pressure on the Seahawks, the Niners, to really step up. And if the Cardinals keep playing this well, who knows if they slip in or not. But going into this game analysis, I mean, Kyler Murray and James Conner, Harrison too, they're all just a trio on offense, an absolute unit. I don't know who can stop these guys, because James Conner's running the football really well. Harrison's, you know, very talented receiver. Kyler Murray's been playing some decent ball. So I just want to hear your thoughts on the Arizona Cardinals in this game.
Yeah, I think they've been super hot. You mentioned them leading the NFC West. Yes, the NFC West has had some injuries to their teams. Obviously, the Rams, the 49ers. Seahawks not so much having injuries. Obviously, Kenneth Walker to start the season. But this division really comes down to really the division games, because I see the Cardinals continuing to be hot. They've won their last two games in blowouts. Yes, it was to the Bears and the Jets, but the Jets have been kind of getting better, and the Bears were in the conversation for being a fourth place team, but in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So it's getting to a point where I'm like, the Cardinals could actually do this. Like, early the season, we were like, okay, 49ers are going to win the West, right? Now it's like, okay, Cardinals are starting to sneak into that conversation. And if they stay hot, I can see, I mean, right now, I think the offensive rookie of the year conversation is Marvin Harrison Jr. and Jaden Daniels. I think those two are like clear cut favorites for offensive rookie of the year. It just really depends on how much productivity you can get out of Marvin Harrison, because you're going to get it from Jaden Daniels no matter what. He's the QB. You're going to get that production. It really depends on how Marvin Harrison does. And you mentioned James Conner. He's been looking like one of the best running backs in the league right now. And that's not a conversation I thought I would ever be having.
Yeah, and people called me weird for drafting him in fantasy. Yeah, no, he's been an absolute beast. Yeah, shout out Nick. I think another talking point that, you know, this I want to bring up is Davante Adams not being enough for this Jets offense. Had a really bad drop in the back of the end zone, and Jets went, I don't think they scored points on it, or they kicked a field goal, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, I mean, he's just not been enough. I don't think it's necessarily his fault. I just think Rodgers may not be the same QB, coaching. I mean, Jets are 3-7 now. Do we see the ship turning around or no?
No. Unfortunately, because I think it's to a point now, obviously 3-7. I don't think really any team has come back to get into the playoffs with this kind of start.
Yeah.
mainly like the threshold for potential playoff has been 9-8. So unless if we see them go 6-1 to end the season, I don't think there's a chance that they make the playoffs. I think they make a push for like a higher draft spot. But I think right now they need some youth on that team. I think they're just a team full of veterans who I think have started to get egos, and I think they're starting to clash a little bit. And I mean, Jets have been decent over the past couple of games, but I think it's going to come down to getting some youth on this team in the future. So I don't see their season like turning around in any sorts, because even their schedule is not the easiest coming up.
Yeah. Another season that could potentially be over now is the Dallas Cowboys. We got news that Dak Prescott's having surgery and he is out for the season. Eagles obviously took care of business in this one with Cooper Rush starting for the Cowboys. I mean, I don't really have any takeaways unless you do, Nick. I mean, this is kind of just a routine win without Dak. I mean, Dallas season's kind of over now. There's no way they're coming back.
It was over even with Dak.
Yeah.
I say this every week. The Cowboys are just absolutely horrible. They have not they set an NFL record, which is insane to think about. They set an NFL record for the worst point differential at home in NFL history.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I really have to say is, does this mean McCarthy's fired? I mean, obviously, given the situation of his starting QBs out, I don't know. I guess it's up to Jerry Jones to decide, but his seat's pretty hot.
Yeah, and I don't know if you saw what Micah Parsons had said about Mike McCarthy, but he had basically just said Mike McCarthy can go anywhere he wants, right? But he feels bad for these players like Zach Martin and players that are on like potentially their last year in the league. They're trying to make a push to win, and their coach is holding them back and their owner. I've been saying this for years, and obviously this is the first season of the Gridiron Podcast, so you guys haven't been able to witness me saying this for years. Jerry Jones is the most like, how do I describe this without basically going off the deep end, right? He's the most, he's the biggest imbecile of a owner that I've seen in the NFL there. Because what did he say in the offseason? We're going all in.
Yeah.
You only have 3 wins on the season. 3. If that's what going all in is, it's just insane. Trading. You could say you're going all in and
trading.
You set an NFL record for the worst point differential at home after you went undefeated last year at home in the regular season.
Good. Yeah, I was going to say trading for Jonathan Mingo is going all in. But I think we're going to go on to this next game because there's a lot to talk about with this one. Nick, it's your Detroit Lions, man. I mean, tell me what happened, because I went to bed. Halftime is 23-7 Texans, and I wake up and it's 26-23 Lions win.
Yeah, I mentioned something earlier in this episode where the defense really steps it up for a team, right? You had big plays on Terrion Arnold. Getting deflections. You had 2 picks from Carlton Davis. One of them when a wide receiver, Tank Dell, was wide open. You had the entire Texans fan base saying, throw the ball, CJ, throw the ball. And Carlton Davis comes from the other side of the field, makes a diving interception in the end zone. And you had big plays out of Brian Branch. I want to mention something real quick. The Lions did something that hasn't been done since 1970, where a team that has thrown five interceptions and was down by 15 or more points at one point came back to win. Now, a lot of those interceptions, I think, were just situational, right? And like really bad luck. The first pick tipped at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Second pick basically ripped out of Jared Goff's hands, right? His arm was being pulled back. I don't think it was a penalty. I'm not going to say it was a penalty. Jared Goff really should have taken the sack there. And then you had one on a Hail Mary. You had Jameson Williams run a higher angle than he was supposed to. And then the other one was Sam LaPorta not getting his head around fast enough to be able to read the ball. So I don't think any of those interceptions were really on Goff. It could have been a little bit better decision-making on his part. But he said it in his press conference, I thought I was seeing the ball good. I thought I was seeing really well. I thought I was making the right read. And it obviously didn't go his way with the five picks. But the defense able to hold the Texans to 0 points in the second half. And there's an interview that was done by Dan Campbell coming out of halftime that they played right before the first play of halftime, like the second half, where he said, we need to get takeaways. Right when they go to the play, Carlton Davis gets his first pick. And yeah. I mean, Jake Bates, I've been saying it since he was in the UFL, right? This guy can kick. He made a 52 yarder that just snuck up in the upright game. Or sorry, 56 yarder was the first one. And then a 52-yard field goal to win the game that just grazed the upright. He had the leg from like 66. It was that deep.
Yeah.
And the offense was able to kind of get it going in the second half a little bit. You had Sam LaPorta doing good. St. Brown finally got involved. They were really able to stop him in the first half, double teaming him basically every single play. And then you had Sonic and Knuckles and Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery starting to step it up in the fourth quarter. Jahmyr Gibbs just running around where he wanted to go. Penei Sewell throwing people into their own guys, giving them concussions because their teammates are running into them because Penei Sewell is just able to push them with one hand. It's ridiculous what the Lions are building, and to win this game in the fashion that they did, down 23-7 going into halftime, says a lot for this Lions team. And now they're 8-1 for the first time since 1954.
Yeah. You know, I just want to add, so last week I said the Texans really needed this game, and they did. And, you know, I thought, hey, they got it 23-7. They're doing their thing. They stepped up. They obviously lose it. Now they're 6-4. And, you know, they'll get into the playoffs by default because, you know, their division's over with the Jaguars, Titans, and Colts. But they're not that dominant. Obviously, Stephon Diggs is out. Nico Collins, they didn't get back for this game. They really need Nico Collins back. I think he's back next week, as reports are saying. But nonetheless, though, I mean, they needed this win. But, you know, for me, as I'm talking about the Chiefs earlier, and being the best team in the league, I think this win by the Detroit Lions solidifies themselves as the best team in the league. I mean, nobody would have cared if the Lions would have lost this game. They would have been like, oh, the Lions had an off game. No, instead, 23-7, they come out half, and you know, there's a whole other half to play, and they played their tails off, and they came back and won. The resilience is crazy. So yeah. I don't know how you can put the Chiefs. Yeah, blocking a field goal is impressive, but nothing's more impressive than what the Detroit Lions did against the Houston Texans, who by no means are a bad team. Like the Broncos, I'm not saying they're a bad team, but I think the Texans are still better than the Broncos. But yeah. I think that this win puts them as number one and the best team in the league. I mean, hands down.
Hey, you said it, not me.
Yeah.
But couldn't have been said. I totally agree. I said last week, I think – even without having Za'Darius Smith, they were able to get 5 sacks on CJ Stroud, which we've been waiting for this defensive to start doing something without Aiden Hutchinson. And they were able to get 5 sacks, James Houston getting 2 of them. CJ Stroud was even sacked and strip fumbled by his own offensive lineman. And Aleem McNeil, I mean, we can't say enough about Aleem McNeil. He was able to just bully the offensive line of the Texans to get to CJ Stroud and really put pressure on him. And I'm excited to see Za'Darius Smith come in. He was kind of coaching up the guys coming out of halftime. And for him to come in a situation now, it's going to be lights out for this defensive line. Cause you're getting a guy like Za'Darius Smith who has 5.5 sacks on the season. So I'm excited to see where the Lions go forward. And to be honest, I don't see them losing another game.
Yeah, no, I can't blame you for that. Going into the last game here that I think was another surprise, at least for me, was Monday Night Football with the Dolphins and Rams. I mean, there was a little bit to take away. I mean, not a whole lot, but you know, this was a time where the Rams were picking up momentum. They got all their players back on offense with Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp. And we're like, hey, they're scoring and they're winning these games. They surprised and beat the Vikings. Last week, I don't remember who they beat on the top of my head, but they won last week. And then they lost to the Dolphins last night, and they didn't even score a touchdown. And that was surprising to me.
Last week.
Seahawks, that's right. Yeah, I mean, two tougher opponents. And, you know, I took the Rams last night. I was like, I like my odds here. They couldn't score a touchdown. I don't know what was up with that.
Yeah, I don't know either, really, because I came into this game. I was like, the Dolphins have been on offense, but like horrible on defense. Like we kept saying, obviously the loss of Tua is bad for the Dolphins, but the defense is letting teams put up 30. And it's like, we mentioned this, I think week 4, maybe if you're able to get 30 points in the NFL, that's a good game. Right.
Yeah.
And obviously the Rams not able to score a touchdown. Do we say that's a good thing for the Dolphins defense or a bad thing for the Rams offense?
Yeah, I think that was just a really bad game from the Rams offense. I mean, even though the Dolphins did stop Kyron Williams, which is huge in the run game, but yeah, I don't know what happened with the Rams offense last night. As you know, they couldn't find the end zone, but that's how they lost. I mean, and also too, the Dolphins, I want to talk about this. Tua, what is going on with him and trying to take headshots? I mean, throwing an interception and then trying to make the tackle, it's like, dude, you got to just get out of the way. Just go the opposite way. I mean, luckily there's no concussion there, but it was kind of funny to see that. Luckily he didn't get injured, but like when the coach be like Mike McDaniel would be like, dude, never do that again. Do not put yourself in danger. Like that was just surprising to me.
Yeah. I think I mentioned this to my little brother where he was like, I don't get why Amon-Ra St. Brown keeps sliding. I was like, I think it's a business decision. Right. Cause obviously St. Brown had the torn oblique last year, but he played through it. Tua on the other hand, he's like, I just came out of a concussion. I'm going to basically drive my head into your stomach, right? Just basically head-on-head contact just because I feel like it, right? Yeah. I want to get this tackle, and I feel personally, I was like, Tua should retire because of how many concussions he's had throughout college and the pros. And do I think that CTE played a factor in this? Probably. Not thinking straight. It was so funny seeing Dolphins fans cheering last week when he slid instead of just kept on running. So personally, I'm like, Tua needs to start making these business decisions and not so much just being like, I want to get the tackle. I want to get the first down. I'm going to make sure I get these extra yardage and risk taking a headshot.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see what happens next week for both teams. We'll see if the Rams can get back on track and if Tua can put up more points with his offense and they can get back on track as well, because now they're 3-7 and they have a chance, I would say, at slipping into the wild card still. I don't think their division's necessarily over with the Bills, obviously winning that division, but I think it's still possible for the Dolphins, but we'll see.
Yeah, and that's going to do it for this week's episode. Thank you guys for tuning in. Keep giving us more feedback on what you guys think about the episodes. We've been seeing the views, like Mike said last week. We've been seeing the feedback coming through. We'd like more feedback, though. So just let us know what you guys think of the episodes. Let us know if you guys think that we should do anything differently. And yeah, thank you guys for tuning in on YouTube, Spotify, and Amazon Music. And follow us on Twitter at GridironPod NFL. You can also follow our personals at Nick T Pitt and at MSteps _. So just let us know what you guys think of this episode. And we'll see you guys next week on Thursday on the next episode of the Gridiron Podcast.